Our scripture for today is Luke 8, chapter 8. Oh, the prayer for illumination first. Sorry. I skipped down. Okay. God of life, by the power of your spirit, come to us now. Plow our hearts with your living word until we who are broken become fertile with your love, for we long to bear fruit in a world that is wasting. We pray in the name of Jesus, whose charge we bear. Amen.
All right, today we are doing an interactive form of scripture reading today. As you know, I love to make scriptures a little bit more engaging with some visual images. So today I'm going to break up the congregation into four sections. So we have one, two, three, and then you all are four. At the furthest end, you all are the birds. What's that? Oh, well, you guys, oh, yes, okay. All right, fine. Y'all are here. Well, yeah, y'all split yourselves up generally over here. And then you are the further section. You actually are going to get props. Y'all are this further section over here. Some of you get props, some of you don't. Listen, I don't have that much time every week. All right, this week, so you all are the birds. I'm going to give a bird over here, too, because y'all need a bird. We have some birds. Here they are. Pat Kattan sells these if you need them. All right, so who needs a bird over here? Who wants a bird? All right, Annette, take a bird. Who else wants a bird? Oh, gosh, they're mingling, yes. All right, who back here needs a bird? All right. Take another bird over there, and I'm going to take one over for the choir. So divvy those out. Who wants a bird over at the choir? Take a bird. And so for you all, when I come around and throw the seed, you're going to be the birds that are coming and eating the seeds, okay? All right, you all are the rocky ground. So when I come around to you, you'll start to sprout up. So you'll put your arms up like this, but then you'll wither. Then you'll wither. Okay, y'all got that? Who's on this side over here? Okay, all right. Can y'all do that for me up here? Arms up. Wither. Okay. All right, you all are the thorn bushes. Ooh. All right, y'all back over here, got it? Okay, so you all will, you'll do like the thorns, you're like, rah, rah, like this. So just do like this, like make a funny shape like this, like your thorn bushes, rah, and you're choking up, you're choking the seed, all right? So I'm gonna throw it and y'all do the thorn bush thing, okay? All right, now you all are the good soil. Yeah. And which produced 100-fold, right? Or as just an inordinate amount of things. So you take a few of these, okay, everybody. And then when I come over to you, you'll all be put up your wheat here, and you'll shake it around a little bit. Try not to make too much of a mess. Though I don't think they're that messy. Dick was worried. Dick said, Gray, you don't, for the seed, don't use confetti because Sue Patterson will be cleaning up all day long and she'll not be happy about that. And I said, you're right, Dick. You're so right. All right, who over here wants some wheat? Who wants some wheat on this side? All right.
There once was a farmer who went out into his fields to sow some seed. As the farmer was scattering the seed, some of it fell onto a pathway. This seed didn't have a chance to grow, as it was soon eaten by the birds.
Get those birds up there.
Good. As the farmer was scattering the seed, some of it fell on rocky ground where there wasn't much soil. The seed quickly started growing, but when the sun came, they were quickly scorched and dried up because they hardly had any roots. As the farmer was scattering the seed, some of it fell in a patch of thorns. They grew up, but they were choked by the thorn bushes that grew there.
Good job.
As the farmer was scattering the seed, some of it fell on good ground. These plants grew big and strong and produced up to 100 times as much as was scattered.
Congratulations, y'all just lived out the parable. Let us remain seated as we sing our middle hymn. Gracious and loving God, we know that you continue to try to reach us, Lord, through your word. Sometimes that word falls on deaf ears in the thorny bushes and rocky soil. But Lord, we ask today that you would help us to be good soil, to receive your word and grow in it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we're deep into the baseball playoffs right now, and a few nights ago I was watching Game 4 of the Cubs-Dodgers series. And one of the Cubs players, Javier Baez, going into the game was 0 for 23 in the playoffs. That means he got up to bat 23 times and failed to get on base, to get a hit. He probably walked a couple times in there, but he didn't get a hit those 23 times. And yet somehow he was still in the lineup. And I thought about this. I thought about any other sport. Would that be acceptable? Baseball seems to be this one sport where failure is built into its very essence, right? Right? You think about these guys, these baseball players that get up there. Where's my bat? Here it is. They get up there, you know, just like, all right, here we go, you know. And they're taking some pitches, you know. Most of the time they swing, it's, they're not watching it go that way. They're watching it go somewhere else, mostly in the catcher's mitt, right? And in fact, the people who are the best baseball players, the guy who had the best batting average in the entire league, batted 346. Do you know what that means? That just over one third of the times he got up the bat, he hit the ball somewhere that was not caught by another player. That means almost two thirds of the time he completely failed. And this guy is celebrated. The best batter in baseball. And he's failed almost two-thirds of the time. Two-thirds of the time, he just went, and it went nowhere. He failed. And I think about that failure, then baseball, it's actually celebrated. It's actually like, we just accept it. It's like, you're going to fail. The same kind of expected failure as the kids so well articulated so well is built into our lives, right? We try to hide it the best we can. We put up appearances to others that we don't ever fail at all. Oh no, that was what I meant to happen. I planned it that way. But in reality, most of the time, life does not go according to our hopes and our dreams. It's why I can't stand training montages in movies, by the way, just to throw that out here. These montages in movies, they cut through all the failure, right? In Rocky, you know, he's punching the meat bag, you know, the meat, the big slab of meat. And like, they skip through all the times that he's like really in pain, really sore, really hurting, you know, at home on the couch, being like, you know. And they just cut through all the glory parts. But the reality is Rocky failed a lot to get to where he had to get to. Failure is something we should expect, even embrace and celebrate. Our culture makes it seem like losing is shameful, yet if we're not failing, we are not growing. Failure is as much of a part of life as success is. Without failure, we would not have some of the incredible inventions of our world. Penicillin was created by mistake. Pacemakers, microwaves, x-rays, all these things were created by mistake, by a failure. The inventors of these things failed in their original ideas, but created something much more useful as a result. So in these situations, and even in our lives, failure actually paved the way for success. So it's with this understanding that we read Jesus' parable today of the sower. And this is why, you know, when I did this, I wanted you all to see that the sower goes out, he's sowing seed. 3/4 of the seed that he sows does what? It dies. It fails. Doesn't succeed. And when it lands in the good soil, it produces more than they ever could imagine. In those days, it was not unusual for seed to find its way into unfavorable conditions. Back in the primitive days of farming, they didn't have nice, neat rows. They would go to their land, their field, and they would just throw seed everywhere. And you know how seed is. Those things could go in. That stuff could find its way to any place. And even worse, they would plow after the fact. So they would sow the seed and then plow the field. And plowing the field oftentimes would move the seeds even further play different places. Pushing seeds into walkways, into rocky ground, thorn patches, where it would fail to produce. But regardless of why, 3/4 of the sower efforts, they failed. We know they failed. And yet the seed that fell on the good soil produced more. So in the midst of failure came abundance. So when I think about stewardship season, I wish I could get up here from this pulpit and tell you that every dollar you take out of your pocket that you so generously give to this church, I wish I could tell you that every one of these dollars is transformed into a complete and utter ministry success. I wish I could tell you that you took this $5 bill and it turned into $500 just magically. Because God just made it that way, right? I wish I could tell you that. I wish I could tell you that all the energy, all the time that you give, every time, all of that produced 100-fold in members and money. Yet you know just like I do that often the money and the work we put in does not produce as we had hoped. But what amazes me, because many of you all have been here through good times and bad times of the church, successes and failures, what amazes me is that you all still continue to be faithful. You have continued to be generous in your time and your money, despite what you have seen in our setbacks and our failures. And you continue to give. And you don't do it because you're delusional or uninformed. You do it because you trust that the failures are how we better understand God's will for us, that they have something to teach us, that it's God's way of nudging us into the right direction. Put more energy here instead of over here. Because the goal of all of this is not success, but rather in the sowing of the seed, trusting that God's work within will work within this sowing to bring incredible things. And think about that, right? That is our goal as Christians, is to just continually sow the seeds of the Word of God, the grace of God, the love of God, and not stop doing it. Because when you look at the Bible, you see many people who went through failure after failure after failure, and yet they were called by God. And their words and their love produced. Maybe they saw it, maybe they didn't. But that is what we're called to do, to sow the seeds of God's word, love, and grace, and continually do it over and over again, even when it seems pointless, even when it seems hopeless. Because the farmer could have taken a look at his field when it first started to grow, and he could have said, "Oh boy, I am one giant failure of a sower. My farming days are numbered, right? When it first started growing. Because 3/4 of his field was doing nothing. But when he got to the good soil, when it started to produce, it was in abundance. So we're called to continue to trust that God is working in that sowing. Because we don't give our time and our money and we think because we think it guarantees us salvation or some reward. We do it because we understand what God has done for us. That we respond to this grace by becoming servants, following the path that Christ laid out for us. So when I ask you, I've already asked you this week, but for next week as well, to fill out your pledge card, I'm asking you today to commit yourselves to this church and the sowing we are going to do in this community well into the future. To realize that in the sowing, there will be failures, there will be setbacks, which are necessary for us to grow and learn. Give to this church, not because you feel obligated or because you feel like shamed into it or you feel like you're getting your buying your salvation. Give because you trust that this church has more sowing to do in this community. That this church has a presence for a reason, that God has given us a ministry. Give because we have more sowing to do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.